This is Cicely Tyson. It is summer in a city of the Midwest in 1919. A Model T Ford followed by a moving van turns into the concrete drive of a house. Driving is John Hazelton. Next to him is his 10-year-old son, Todd, and his wife, Minnie. John blows the horn happily as the car stops. Minnie piles out, followed by Todd and John. A boy comes from the house next door and sits on the porch steps to watch. But listen to this.
You movers, be careful.
Todd, they haven't even started yet.
I thought they should be warned.
Go get acquainted with that boy sitting on the steps. Be neighborly.
The barrels go in the kitchen.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm your new neighbor.
What's your name?
Todd Hazelton. And that's my father and mother.
I'm Paul Hafner. My mother's in the house and my father's away working. You a Boy Scout?
No. Are you?
No.
What's your father do?
He's a streetcar motorman.
My dad's a traveling salesman.
He even lets me move the controls sometimes.
My dad doesn't have to ride on trains like other salesmen, because he's got his own Ford.
What's that?
My set of drums. That's the bass drum. Be careful with that snare drum. And those are the cymbals.
My father doesn't like noise at string pulling time.
Oh, dearie me.
This is my mother. This is the kid who's moving in, Ma.
How do you do?
How do you do, ma'am?
Do you own those drums?
Yes'm.
Oh, dearie me. It was a former neighbor boy who blew his Boy Scout bugle at a crucial moment and caused a disaster. Oh, dearie me.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, The String Puller, by Ted Sherdeman. Our stars, Herb Rudley, Shepard Menken, and Mary Jane Croft.
The Hazelton house is separated from the Hafner house only by the driveway and a few rose bushes, and the Hafner back porch is in full view. It is littered with empty liquor bottles. Minnie Hazelton is staring at the bottles. She finally calls her husband John to join her and points to the Hafner back porch.
Look, just look at that.
Real democratic fella.
What's that supposed to mean?
He doesn't seem to care what he drinks.
I'm not amused, John.
Oh, here you are. I sat on the porch steps with Paul and... Hey, look at all their bottles on their back porch.
Go to your room, Todd.
What for?
Hang up your American Indian pictures.
Do I gotta...
You heard your mother, son.
There's a hammer and some nails in one of the kitchen drawers.
But pounding the nails makes noise, Mom.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, Paul said his father... Mr. Hafner didn't like noise, especially at string pulling time.
Oh? He at home now?
No, he's at work. He's a streetcar motorman. I told Paul you were a traveling salesman, Dad.
That's good. Did you hear your mother?
What are all them bottles for?
Young man, go hang your pictures.
Yes'm. Paul said his father didn't like noise.
Oh, John, what have we done?
What do you mean?
We've moved right next door to an alcoholic.
Oh, there you are. I thought you'd enjoy a nice pitcher of iced tea. What with all your moving in?
Oh, that's mighty nice of you. I'm John Hazelton, and this is my wife, Minnie.
How you do?
Hello.
I'm Opal Hafner. I've already met your son, Todd.
Yeah, we're out here... Well, Mrs. Hafner, we're frankly curious about all the liquor bottles on your back porch.
Oh, those. Well, the basement's almost filled with them. My husband's hobby, you know. What with prohibition going to become the law of the land within a few months, Charlie, my husband Charlie, he has to get all he can now. Oh, dearie me, I got a roast in the oven. Excuse me. I didn't put any sugar in the iced tea.
Oh, that poor woman, what she must put up with. Hobby indeed.
You suppose she spiked the iced tea?
Well, I'll look for a new place tomorrow.
Minnie, we just moved in here.
Next door to a prodigious drunk.
I'd promised my wife, Minnie, and my son, Todd, we'd have ice cream after we moved, so I went out and got some. There was enough left over to repay the Hafners for their generosity with the iced tea, but Minnie was timid, so Todd and me went to the neighbors. Opal Hafner was very pleased with the ice cream and suggested I meet her husband, Charlie, who was then on the back porch. Now, I was a little upset by Opal's remark about her husband. He's all wrapped up in his hobby, she had said, and hadn't even changed out of his uniform. I was tempted to order Todd home, but it seemed too arbitrary, so I followed him down the Hafner driveway and the Hafner boy, Paul, who said it was the closest way to his chinning bar. For the first time, I saw Charlie Hafner. Instead of weaving and trying to focus, Charlie stood straight as a ramrod and looked me straight in the eye. He was obviously sober as a proverbial judge. The boys went on to the chinning bar, and I went up the steps to the Hafner back porch. I'm John Hazelton, your next-door neighbor.
Oh, and I'm Charlie Hafner. Hope you'll excuse the uniform.
Your wife said you'd just come home from work.
Home to my hobby. Opal.
Mr. Hazelton brought over some ice cream for us.
Well, that was very nice of you. May I call you John?
Oh, please do.
Well, John, I must decline because I'm on a diet.
Yeah, but you're not fat.
It's to steady his nerves, Mr. Hazelton.
Mostly hard-boiled eggs and raw celery.
I should have told you, Mr. Hazelton, Charlie's a stickler when it comes to his hobby.
I can see that from all these bottles.
Well, if you gentlemen will excuse me.
Oh, sure, Opal.
Enjoy the ice cream.
Oh, I will, I will.
Charlie?
Mm-hmm?
Would you like to go salooning with me?
No. You a drinking man, John?
Well, I'm in the amateur class compared with all these.
Oh, don't let the bottles fool you, John. I voted for prohibition. Guess that tells you where I stand on liquor. I never touch the stuff, except in times of disaster. I'm proud to say there hasn't been such a time for quite a while now.
You mean, like when the Lusitania was sunk?
No. Not since that idiot boy who used to live in your house blew the bugle. I haven't felt the same about Boy Scouts since.
Well, Todd doesn't belong to the Scouts, and he doesn't own a bugle.
Now, the Scouts do good work, don't get me wrong.
Oh, I won't, Charlie.
You go on ahead to your favorite saloon, John. I'm not one to deny a neighbor his pleasure, so long as it doesn't interfere with mine. And, thank you for the ice cream. Any other time, I would have eaten it with relish.
Oh, I understand, Charlie. A diet's a diet. Todd, going home now.
Okay, Dad.
I just can't believe it.
He was stark sober.
Well, did you ask him what his son meant about pulling strings?
Of course not. I wasn't going to get personal the first time we ever met. After all, it may have something to do with politics.
Politics?
Sure, the streetcar company is owned by the city, isn't it? Maybe Charlie Hafner has some pull down at the city hall.
String pulling and cork pulling are the same in my book.
You've got a fixation about it.
Good night, Dad. Good night, Mom.
Good night, son. Don't let the bedbugs bite.
I won't.
Make sure you say your prayers.
I will. Boy, Paul has a neat chinning bar, Dad.
That's good.
His father put it up for him.
In one of his sober moments, I imagine.
I beg your pardon?
Nothing. Kiss me goodnight. Go to bed.
I'll put up one for you, too.
I told Paul you would. Good night.
Night, son.
Night.
That was a nice thing to say, one of his sober moments.
Well, he doesn't draw many, believe me. You know all drunks are sly fellows, often hiding their addiction to booze by declaration of hatred for it.
He didn't strike me as...
How do you account for all the bottles?
Well, I can't, but...
What did they once hold? Soda pop?
If Charlie Hafner should get drunk and cause any trouble while I'm away on the road, you're to call the police.
Well, I'm not waiting for any police to get here. I'm using this.
What are you doing behind the bed? Minnie, what are you doing with that poker from the fireplace?
I told you. I'm not waiting for the police.
Just don't use it on me.
On the following Thursday, Charlie Hafner studiously read the weather report in the evening paper, nodded, then held out his hands. They were steady as the Rock of Gibraltar. Opal and Paul paused in their dinner table conversation and looked at him expectantly. He nodded again, then answered.
Tomorrow is definitely the day.
Are you sure, Charlie?
Yep. Did you see my hands? Steady as a rock.
Where are we going to go, Ma?
Shh, your father's talking.
Sorry.
The weather report in the paper is good. Humidity's a little bit high, but one can't expect everything, you know, can one?
Well, what you said, the humidity, will it have an effect on you?
I don't think so. Look at those hands. The hard-boiled eggs and the raw celery have done their job well.
Now, Paul and I will leave in the morning for Krug Park.
Oh, boy, can I feed the monkeys?
You can feed the monkeys.
What is that?
Oh, that boy.
I'll stop it.
What if it occurs tomorrow?
Oh, dearie me.
Oh, pass me another egg, Opal. That racket is even more lethal than the bugle.
I'll answer it.
Well, hello, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Ma'am, my father needs all the rest and silence he can get now in preparation for tomorrow.
What happens tomorrow?
It's string pulling day.
Oh?
I told you, Todd, my father can't stand no noise, especially at string pulling time.
I was just practicing my drums.
String pull. That's enough, young man.
Thank you, ma'am.
You can tell your father Todd stopped.
I will, ma'am.
String pulling day. Tomorrow. Your father comes back tomorrow.
What are you looking for, Mom?
A fireplace poker. Oh, I remember. It's behind the bed.
Early the next morning, my wife Minnie was amazed to see that all the liquor bottles of every shape and size were gone from the Hafner back porch. They disappeared. She pondered this as she pushed a carpet sweeper over the living room rug, then saw Opal and Paul Hafner on the front porch of the house next door. Minnie grabbed a dust cloth and hastened out on her own front porch to overhear what was being said. She busily shook out the dust cloth as she listened.
How long should I and Paul stay away, Charlie?
Oh, 5 o'clock ought to give me enough time to do it.
We'll give you till about 5:15.
A nice day, Opal. You too, Paul.
Oh, I will. You too.
Thanks, son. Bye.
Don't forget your sign, Charlie.
No, I won't. Bye.
Oh, good morning, Minnie.
Morning, Opal. Morning, Paul.
Morning, Mrs. Hazelton.
Well, you're dressed and all. I guess you're on an outing.
Yes, we're going to Krug Park. It's best for Charlie to be alone at this time.
I imagine it is.
Oh, Minnie, I hate to ask you, but will you please ask Todd not to play his drums, at least till after 5:00?
I assure you the drums will be silent, and there'll be no yelling or whooping from him either.
Oh, thank you, Minnie. Oh, why don't you shut up? Shoo, shoo. Go someplace else, can't you? Oh, come on, Paul. Come on.
I'm going to go feed the monkeys. Bye, Miss Hazelton.
That poor woman and child. Shut out of their own house. Oh, hello, Mr. Hafner.
How do, Miss Hazelton?
Now, let me see. What kind of sign did he hang on their doorbell? Do not ring bell or knock. Serious illness in house. Illness indeed. Debauchery.
Later that afternoon, my wife Minnie saw Todd creeping along the driveway and spying into the Hafner basement windows. She told me she called him inside and gave him a piece of her mind.
Todd Hazelton, I'm ashamed of you. Deliberately spying like that. You know better than to do a thing like that. What'd you see?
Nothing.
Well, you must have seen something.
Honest, Mom. Honest engine. I couldn't see anything because the bottles on the windowsills blocked my view. I only heard some whistling.
Whistling?
It was very faint and tuneless.
From Charlie Hafner?
He's the only one home, isn't he?
Tuneless whistling. Probably warming up for the eventual shouting of some indecent barroom ballad which will contribute to the delinquency of any minor within earshot. Go to your room and close the door.
Do I gotta?
You gotta. Go.
What time will Dad be home?
He's overdue. Any time. Now go.
Shucks.
Be quiet.
Daddy, shh.
What's all the fuss about? What was that?
Today was string pulling day.
What are you looking for, Dad? What is that?
A tire iron, son, just in case. Now, be quiet now.
Disaster! Disaster!
Charlie, it's only me, John. He ran away.
What did he smash on the front porch?
I don't know.
We'll go see.
He might still be there.
We'll go over and see.
You two bring up the rear. Keep your distance now and be ready to run.
The three of us went down the driveway on tiptoes. I must say I was so unnerved by the cries I'd heard, I hefted the tire iron and led the way. As the Hafner porch came into view, I got braver. Charlie Hafner was not in sight. I led the way up the stairs. The front door was opened, and on the porch was the wreckage of broken glass from a bottle, tangled strings and threads, and some small bits of painted wood.
What is it, Dad?
What Charlie wrecked looks like glass and stuff.
Front door's open. Charlie?
Charlie?
Nobody home.
Maybe Opal's taking a nap.
I saw her leave with Paul for Krug Park this morning. They won't be back till 5:15.
What is this stuff?
Looks like a toy ship, maybe. Minnie, you're not going in there.
Why not? I've never seen the inside of their house.
Neither have I. Oh, boy.
Todd, come back here. Minnie!
Why, I've never seen... John, come in here.
We found ourselves in a veritable marine museum. Stretched across the mantle of the fireplace and in cabinets on both sides were ships of all sizes and shapes, each contained in a bottle. There were sailing ships engaged in battle, so real-looking you could almost hear the thunder of their guns. Clipper ships like the Cutty Sark, the Sovereign of the Seas. Red Jacket and Flying Cloud with all sails flying, racing with tea from China and wool from Australia. The Wasp, capturing the Frolic. The Bonhomme Richard, taking the Serapis. The Intrepid, burning the Philadelphia with flames so hot you could almost feel their heat through the glass bottle.
I never saw nothing like it.
Anything.
Anything.
I never saw such a collection before.
How does he do it, Minnie?
I don't know. Look at them. All shapes, sizes of bottles.
Now, look at this. An aspirin bottle with a battle between the Monitor and the Merrimack.
That was during the Civil War, wasn't it, Dad?
Oh, boy. Now do you believe he never drinks?
I can't wait to apologize to Charlie.
And I had to blow my horn.
Look at this, a whaling ship with whales.
You can make out the name of her, the Charles W. Morgan.
What kind of bottle is it in, Dad?
That's a pinch bottle, son. It once held scotch.
What's that?
A kind of whiskey.
John.
Yes, and I never touched the stuff.
Oh, dearie me.
He's gone, Mama.
Oh, what happened?
Well, John had just arrived, and I hope you don't mind our being here in your living room.
Oh, Charlie's had a disaster.
There, Mom.
It's the only time he drinks when he's had a disaster.
There, Mom.
He was gone 4 days the last time.
There, Mom.
Found him in the drunk tank at Ottumwa, Iowa.
There, Mom.
And he worked so hard on it, stuck to his diet and everything.
Well, I'll see that he gets home.
Where are you going, John?
To find Charlie.
Well, where are you going to look?
In saloons. Where else? You stay with Opal.
I will.
Mr. Hazleton, what caused the disaster at the string pulling time?
I blew my horn on the Model T.
The one that goes, "Aua!"
Yeah, 4 times I blew it. See you later.
There, Opal.
What's this one?
You leave my papa's ships alone.
It took a lot of doing, but John finally found Charlie in a Southside police station. Charlie got drunk, had a fight in a bar, and the proprietor called the police, who came and arrested Charlie. John paid for Charlie's bail, and the proprietor promised not to appear against Charlie when John paid him for the damage to his premises. Then he loaded Charlie into his Model T Ford and drove him home. Turning into the driveway, he was met by Minnie, who explained Opal was in their bedroom with cold towels applied to her head, and Paul was sharing Todd's room. It was a fine neighborly arrangement. Minnie apologized to Charlie. He, nursing a hangover, nodded forgiveness. John said he'd stay with Charlie in the Hafner house and took the poor man inside.
We saw your collection of ships and bottles after the accident.
It is a joyless pursuit.
I think it's remarkable, Charlie.
No. I am burdened with a talent for which there is no market and no real recognition.
You do wonderful things, Charlie. This one, for example.
That's Perry's squadron of ships in Tokyo Bay on July 8th, 1853.
All contained in a squarish gin bottle. Mm-hmm.
That one held Holland gin.
How do you get all these ships in the bottles?
Well, first you have to decide on what you want to do.
Which requires a lot of research, huh?
Yeah. I've never seen Japan outside the National Geographic, so I sort of guessed at Tokyo Bay.
What's it made of?
Wax, mostly. Painted wax.
Do you put the little boats through...
They're ships, John, ships.
You put the little ships through the neck of the bottle?
A ship can carry a boat, but a boat can't carry a ship.
Oh, I'll remember, Charlie.
You do the ships in sections, all painted with the masts and sails folded down. You embed them in the hot wax and then wait for it to cool to set up solid. And then you paint the water and touch up the ships.
Well, how do you get the masts and the sails to stand up?
With colored strings and threads. After you're all done, you pull the strings and the masts pop up. That is, if your hands are steady. And
There are no distracting noises.
Yes.
That's string pulling day, huh?
This one here is the Revolutionary War's first naval battle. It was on June the 12th, 1775.
What a gem. Even the tiny figures look real.
Yeah, I guess so, John. Well, anybody can be a streetcar motorman, but only a few of us can put ships into bottles.
I never met anybody with as much artistry as you. I mean it, Charlie.
Well, the Navy Department doesn't think so. They haven't even replied to my letters.
Well, what did you write to the Navy?
I wanted a convoy pattern, is all. You see, I wanted to show a convoy shepherded by destroyers undergoing a U-boat attack. A historical moment, John.
Oh, I'll say.
I've written four times. They haven't even answered. Oh. You mind if I lie down on the sofa, John?
Oh, go ahead, Charlie. I'll put a pillow on the floor. Poor Charlie. How much he loves the sea and ships. Though he was never in the Navy and has probably never seen a body of water bigger than Carter Lake. Why hasn't the Navy Department at least answered his letters? Well, time went on, and on the Hafner back porch, the liquor bottles began to pile up again, augmented by empties I picked up from various saloons out in the state where I traveled. Charlie Hafner was obviously in the gestation period of another project. One day, I just finished washing down my Model T in the driveway when Charlie came onto the back porch to look at his bottles. Hey there, Charlie!
Hello, John. Washed your car again, I see.
Yeah, my pride and joy.
Bet you've got the cleanest Model T in anybody's town.
Heard from the Navy yet?
Nope. Thanks for all the bottles you brought me, John.
Oh, you're welcome. What's it going to be this time?
Can't tell you, John.
Why not?
Composers don't hum their tunes before they're written, do they? Painters don't describe paintings not yet painted.
No, I suppose not, Charlie.
But I can tell you it's going to be one of the most important compositions I've ever undertaken.
It must really be something.
Well, if all goes well, I...
Well, there'll be no more honking my horn.
I didn't mean that, John.
Oh, it's a promise anyway, Charlie.
I envision a masterpiece, a fragment of history... contained in glass.
Sitting on our front porch, my wife Minnie and me were trying to escape the Saturday afternoon heat when Minnie spotted the young man coming down the street. He wore a seersucker suit and a straw skimmer. We just stared at him as he turned into the walk that led to our porch. He doffed his straw hat.
Do I have the honor of addressing Mr. John Hazleton?
You do?
Oh, I am Barton Benson, Mr. Hazleton.
Well, come up on the porch and sit down. This is Mrs. Hazleton.
Oh, how do you do, ma'am?
Pleased to make your acquaintance.
Sit down, sit down.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I'll leave you gentlemen to discuss your business.
Do you always carry a notebook?
Well, just to note your answers, Mr. Hazleton. You see, I have to ask you some questions.
Fire away.
Oh, thank you. Do you consider yourself a loyal American citizen?
I do.
Were you born in this country?
Yes, and may I ask who is inquiring about my citizenship?
Well, I am on a mission of some delicacy for the government, Mr. Hazleton.
Oh?
I am seeking information about, not you, understand, but your next-door neighbor.
Which one? There are houses on both sides of us.
About Charles Hafner.
Charlie?
Yeah, I understand he's employed by the streetcar company as a motorman.
Yes, he is.
How long have you known him?
Oh, a few months, since we moved in here last June.
I see. Is Mr. Hafner of alien birth?
No.
Well, does he have many friends who are aliens?
No.
Has Mr. Hafner ever expressed sympathy for our late enemy, Germany?
What are you doing? Are you trying to implicate Charlie in some plot against the country?
I am not, Mr. Hafner.
I'm through answering any more of your stupid questions about my friend.
I have been unable to find out anything of value from anybody on this street.
What do you consider of value?
Mr. Hazleton, I'll level with you,
sir. I wish you would.
I am Ensign Barton Benson from Naval Intelligence.
Ensign?
You see, Mr. Hafner's frequent letters to the Naval Department have made him suspect because he's asking for information of a highly classified nature.
His letters to the Naval Department?
So they were turned over to Intelligence to investigate. There's a very serious thing, Mr. Hazleton. Well, what's so funny, Mr. Hazleton?
Oh, you are... The Navy Department.
I see nothing humorous, Mr. Hazleton.
Oh, dear. Oh, I haven't had a laugh like this. I don't remember when.
Well, I'm glad you were amused, sir.
Charlie told me what was in those letters.
Then you must be very close to him.
And then he never had a reply to any of them.
Mr. Hafner told you what was in those letters?
Oh, yes. That he wanted... information about a convoy.
I told you it was of a highly classified nature.
A destroyer shepherding a convoy during a U-boat attack.
Mr. Hazleton, our methods can be revealed to no one.
Not even to a string puller.
I don't understand.
Let's see. Charlie's working nice this week. And Opal and Paul have gone to a movie.
Why are you getting up?
Let's pay a visit to the Hafners, Ensign Benson.
I don't know.
Come on, Ensign. Maybe you can find out why Charlie Hafner has been seeking information from the Navy.
Cicely Tyson again. And here's the fourth act of The String Puller.
I'll get the front door, Minnie. Oh, hi, Paul.
Hello, Mr. Hazleton.
Todd's in bed already.
That's okay. I just wanted to tell you tomorrow's string pulling day.
It is. Charlie's ready to pull the strings.
Yes, sir. His hands are steady as a rock.
Oh, will you tell your papa from me there'll be no disaster this time.
He'll be glad to hear it.
This time, Charlie gets quiet. On the big day, Minnie, Opal, and Paul joined forces to barricade one end of the street with sawhorses. I parked my Model T across the street at the other end so no traffic could pass. Aided by Todd, we saw to it that nobody, but nobody, got by.
Get those sawhorses out of the way!
Dearie me, why?
You're blocking delivery of the United States mail!
Come back at 5 o'clock, mister.
I'll move those sawhorses myself.
What's so important?
I got a special delivery letter to deliver, and I'm going to deliver it.
Who's it for?
For Mrs. Rose Stone.
Oh, how nice. I'm Mrs. Stone.
Oh, dearie me.
You live at 4238?
I do.
Oh,
Dear me.
Why does she keep saying that?
Well, it's her way of saying through rain and snow and... You know. Where do I sign for it?
Right there.
There you are. Mrs. Rose Stone.
And here's your letter.
Oh, dear me.
What's going on?
It's string pulling time.
Oh, dear me.
And Mrs. Stone, you hang around then. You're going to end up on a funny farm.
Oh, Minnie, you actually signed for that letter?
Well, I'll personally deliver it later. If it hadn't worked, I'd have flung myself under that truck to keep it from proceeding.
There's a bicycle coming, Dad.
Where? Oh, hey, you!
You called me?
Where do you think you're going?
Down this street.
Not until after 5.
This is my day to collect for newspaper delivery.
Not till after 5.
I can't wait until 5 o'clock.
Then come back on Monday or Tuesday, but you're not going to ring doorbells or knock on doors on this street.
Look, mister, I have to collect for newspapers.
You look. Every subscriber will cancel if you try to collect today. I promise you they'll cancel.
Cancel is a strong word.
I promise. Now go on about your business, but don't try to collect on this street.
Till after 5. Right, Dad?
Right, son.
Boy, it's just a crazy street.
You sure told him, Dad.
I forgot to tell him to stop throwing the paper on the roof. And so it went, with Minnie, Opal, and Paul stopping cars, trucks, and passerbys at one end of the street, and me and Todd at the other. Charlie had his quiet, just as I'd promised. Then... What the...
Dad... There's a sailor driving that stand.
I don't care who's driving it.
With the passenger in the back seat.
Simmer down. Stop blowing that horn.
Will you please move that Model T out of the way? We want to...
No, sir.
What did you say?
I said no, sir. That means I won't move it.
Look, of all the impertinence. I'm on official Navy business, and I demand that you move it.
4 stripes. That means you're a captain, doesn't it?
It does. And I demand...
Hey, does your business have anything to do with Charlie Hafner?
Hafner? That's none of your business.
So your business is with Charlie.
As I told you before, that's
My name's John Hazelton. This is my son, Todd.
Pleased to meet you, sir.
Will you please move that car?
That's the reason we blocked the street, for Charlie's sake.
It's string pulling time, sir.
And he can't stand noise.
Whatever are you talking? Would you please move that car?
Eventually, but not now, Captain.
When?
When the signal comes from Charlie Hafner.
What kind of signal?
Oh, you'll hear it, one way or the other.
Oh, dearie me.
What's the matter, Mom?
What time is it?
It's nearly 5 o'clock.
I don't know if I could stand 2 disasters in a row.
Listen...
He's done it! Come on!
That's the signal, Navy! Follow me!
Oh, Charlie! And you've got your John Paul Jones Admiral hat on. Oh, Charlie!
You look divine in that hat.
I always put it on when I have a success.
Where is it, Dad?
Right here.
Looky, it's a fight.
That's the United States Ship Constitution. Old Ironsides versus His Majesty's Ship Guerriere in the historic naval battle of August 19th, 1812.
It's just super, Charlie.
Old Ironsides. Jeez.
She was the start of the great American legend. She was designed to be faster and more heavily armed than any enemy ship and built to outsail any ship she couldn't outfight. She was the toughest ship in the United States Navy.
Charlie, you've done it again. Oh, this is Captain Atkins of the U.S. Navy.
The pleasure is all mine,
thank
sir.
Thank you. Opal, take my John Paul Jones hat, will you? I feel foolish wearing it in front of a 4-striper.
Look at this, Todd.
So that's what he was working on.
Well, what do you think, Captain?
The collection is even more remarkable than our intelligence service reported.
I beg your pardon?
It was nothing, Charlie.
Didn't I hear intelligence service?
History a man can hold in his hand.
Did you see this one, Captain? In an aspirin bottle?
The Monitor and the Merrimack are remarkable. They're all like gems. The only word I can think of, gems.
That's high praise coming from a man like you, sir.
Mr. Hafner, I am here in line of official duty.
Listen to this, Charlie.
Please, Mr. Hazelton, please. Mr. Hafner, would you consider allowing this... this remarkable collection to be exhibited at the Naval Academy in Annapolis?
My glass bottles at the Naval Academy?
You and your family would be transported at Navy expense.
Oh, dearie me!
You will meet the Secretary of the Navy, the Commandant of the Academy, and be honored guests of the midshipmen during your stay.
Oh, isn't that wonderful, John?
What about my letters to the Navy Department?
Well, what about them? Do you want them back?
Oh, no. No, but I'd sure like to get a convoy pattern. You see, I put it in a gallon jug. A convoy of ships shepherded by destroyers undergoing a U-boat attack. Maybe they've already torpedoed a ship or two.
Oh, well, what's your problem?
I've never heard from them.
Did you write and say that?
Well, I sure did. 5 letters I wrote.
Oh. Well, you know the Navy.
No, I don't.
You weren't in the Navy?
No, sir.
That's all the more remarkable. What about the exhibition at the Naval Academy?
What do you think, Opal?
Oh, dearie me, I think it's grand.
Me too, Papa.
Then I'll go.
Have a wonderful time at Annapolis, Charlie.
We will, John.
Put everything out of your mind, Opal. I'll see to the house.
Oh, dearie me, I know you will.
You can use my chin-up bar anytime you want, Todd.
Thanks, Pa.
Oh, here comes Captain Atkins again.
Well. We have to get you three aboard now.
We were just saying goodbye to our friends.
You get aboard the train, Mrs. Hafner, Paul. Maybe he'll follow you.
Goodbye, Minnie. Goodbye, John. Goodbye, Todd.
Bye, dear.
So long, Todd. See ya.
Don't join the Navy yet, Pa.
John, meaning to give you this.
What is it?
Just a small box. Goodbye, Minnie. Todd.
Bye.
Bye. So long. Just later. A little gift.
Bye,
so you won't forget your friends while we're away.
Well, what's in it, John?
Yeah. Aren't you going to open it?
Holy smokes. Look at that.
It's like your pride and joy, the Model T Ford.
In a teensy-weensy bottle, Dad.
He was wrong, Minnie. When you know how to bottle love and friendship, there's a big market for it. Biggest in the world.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, The String Puller, was written by Ted Sherdeman and produced and directed by Livia Granito. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our stars were Herb Rudley, Shepard Menken, and Mary Jane Croft. Featured in the cast were Lenore Kingston, William Woodson, Lou Horn, Ari Seltzer, and Greg Alter. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Sears, a name that means quality and value, a name that you can count on for service and dependability. Sears, where America shops for value. And by Pillsbury Frosting Supreme, so smooth and creamy you can spread it with a paper knife.
This is Leonard Nimoy. Tomorrow at this same time, the mood is no longer romantic. It's adventurous. My kind of story. Join us, won't you?